remember turning that off. I don't remember a lot of things. All right. Take your Bibles this morning. I want to talk on a subject I think I don't talk on enough. And we're going to be looking at prayer this morning. And I want you to turn to Romans chapter 1 in your Bibles. Romans chapter 1. And when we think about the importance of prayer, again, as a Christian, we have disciplines, what we call maybe disciplines in our Christian life. And one of the disciplines, I think one of the most important disciplines, if not the most important discipline in our Christian life, is to pray. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but are we disciplined? Are you disciplined in your prayer life? Are we disciplined to pray? Are we disciplined to seek God as we should each and every day? And I would think probably most of us would say, you know what, Pastor, I don't pray the way I ought to pray. Bible reading would be up there as well when it comes to another discipline that is very important. One thing that I've found in my Christian life, and I think of a family, strong family in church all their lives, from the time he was a boy growing up. Conservative parents, didn't drink, and they dressed nice. They were a nice Christian family, and now the marriages broke up, and 14-year-old girls that my wife used to teach in school, and They're posting pictures of drinking alcohol and partying, and you know, they got all bent out of shape, left the church about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, because they were it's in the heart before it begins, but they started listening to the wrong influence. And I said all that to say, I have found in my life that Christians will listen to someone. And all Christians will listen to someone. And why is it, and this is my point, why is it that so many times people are willing to take the advice of a Christian who, first of all, doesn't even pray and doesn't read their Bible, and they're so far away from God, their church attendance is waning, and this is waning, and their spiritual life is waning, and their relationship is waning. But when they say something spiritual, it's gospel, because it's maybe what we want to hear. We've been there probably, where we know someone or people like that you know, they've always got an opinion on the way things should be or how the Bible's supposed to be interpreted and how Christians are supposed to live, yet they're not praying and they're not reading their Bible. Is that the type of person we should listen to? Is that the type of person we should look to for our spiritual guidance and our spiritual counsel? No, it's not. I mean, most of Christians get their theology from the world. They don't get it from the Bible. If you love God, you love the Word of God, you're going to be in the Word of God, and you're going to be looking for things that God requires of us, and in ways we can become more obedient and have a closer relationship with God. And you know, when we think about a disciplined life, we have a lot of undisciplined people in society, and we need to learn discipline. We need to learn to be disciplined in not only our spiritual life, we could say in our life in general. And generally speaking, if we're not disciplined in other areas of our lives, it will be hard to be disciplined in these areas, in prayer and in Bible reading and those other disciplines of the Christian faith. Now, I always like to use diets as a good indication. Like, we all know what we should eat, right? We all know what we shouldn't eat. What shouldn't we eat? Name? Fried food. Junk food. Coffee. There's a verse in here somewhere for that. I know there. If thou eatest thy cauliflower, thy hip shall be fine. I know it's in there somewhere. what else shouldn't we eat? Well, pretty much all that was mentioned here, except for the cauliflower, which may be debatable, is poison, right? Sugar, you know, the sugar I heard of a couple months ago, the big companies, Coke and Pepsi, they're scrambling to make adjustments because very few people are buying Coke, colas, ginger ale, the sugary soda pops or whatever you want to call them. People are changing over. They're starting to drink the flavored carbonated water and just plain water. They're changing. So the cola sales, and when I say that, I'm talking about, again, sugary pops. The sales have dropped like dramatically in the last few years. So they're scrambling, you know, again, to get people or to get into the market where they're still selling their product. And when we think about what we shouldn't eat, we all know what we shouldn't eat. But let me ask you this: Do we? Yeah, we do. And it's not because your wife is making you eat, you know, cauliflower and broccoli and peas and all that good stuff. Why is it? And this is one thing that I can never figure out. We had our first barbecue last night. Had some nice barbecue lean ground beef hamburgers. Amen. Wow, I go, man, what's going on? Amen. I mean, it sure beats anything you can buy at the fast food places, you know. But why is it everything, and I'm not saying hamburgers are bad for you, but why is it that everything that is bad for you tastes good? Like, or at least is more satisfying, if you will. But we know what's good for us. We know what we should do. We know what we should eat. But sometimes we don't do it, and even when we're on diets, and I don't think there's anybody in the world, by the way, who's on a diet that doesn't cheat once in a while. Amen? You know, it's okay. I think it's okay. I remember even Dr. Jessup being here with us for fellowship one time, and I look over and he was eating meat. He didn't normally eat meat. And he says, I don't think it'll kill me to eat it once, and if it does, at least I'll die happy. Amen? Amen. So our prayer life, we cannot neglect it. We cannot neglect our disciplines in the Christian faith. John Bunyan said, he who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him the rest of the day. And I know even men like Martin Luther used to say, I think he said 3 hours that he would spend in prayer before he started any day. He said, if I didn't, I wouldn't have enough time in the day to do what I need to do. And somewhere along the line, we feel that, you know what, if I take time to pray for an hour or half an hour or 20 minutes or 10 minutes a day or whatever it may be, it's going to cut into my day and I'm not going to get everything accomplished. We've got to realize that with God in our day, with God in our lives, and with that discipline of prayer in our lives, we will have more time during the day. God will make sure we do. God isn't going to rob us of what we need to get done if we're serving and faithfully serving Him. It's the same principle with tithing. I don't understand tithing. All I know is since we started tithing, we got saved and started tithing. We not to say we've never had times when things were tight, but I know we've seen God bless. And it seems like we've had less money problems since we've been tithing and giving to missions than before. And before we got saved, my wife was working, making as much money as I was. And it seems like we had so many struggles and different things financially. But see, God will always bless obedience. And so we've got to realize we need to be people of prayer. We need to understand the importance of prayer. We need men and women who are going to use this tool or this, again, it's a power. It's a power that we have, a power that we can harness. We don't have power in ourselves, but it's certainly power that we can harness. There is power in prayer. E.M. Bounds says, again, today we have people that are, you know, scrambling to, well, if you want to build a big church, you know, you've got to get rid of the Bible, and you got to get rid of, you know, dressing nice for church, and you got to have dark lights, and you got to have this, and you got to have that, and you got to have all the frills of the world, and you got to have the rock bands, and you got to have the entertainment, give everyone the flesh. We got to have programs, we got to have softball teams, we got to have this, and we got to have that. We got to have all the programs in the world, and then we can build our church. Well, listen, folks, what we don't need frills, amen? We need the Bible, we need the Word of God, and again, what E.M. Bounds says here is what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, mighty men of prayer. Charles Spurgeon was certainly not a compromiser, and many believe that he died fighting for truth in the downgrade controversy. And he didn't compromise. He didn't do things to try to build his church bigger. He just simply followed the Word of God, preached the Word of God. And he, at the time, had the biggest church, as far as I know, at least in England. He was preaching to thousands every day. He had to get tickets to tell you which service you had to come to, because they couldn't get everybody in the building in one service. So people were lined up, and all the people that were waiting to come into the next service were already downstairs in the basement, and they were praying, hundreds of them, praying that God would bless the service that was going on upstairs. And Charles Spurgeon was asked, what is the secret to the success of your ministry? And he said, prayer. This is it right here. These people praying. And we will not, in fact, we cannot spiritually succeed in our Christian life if we are not disciplined in prayer. So when we think about prayer, there's different aspects of prayer. Prayer is thanksgiving and praise. Amen? Prayer is thanksgiving and praise. And when we think about our need to be thankful for God or to God, this is something that every day that we should learn as a discipline, part of our prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We know the Lord's model prayer for us. And one of it, and the first part of it, sorry, is recognizing God the Father. We'll look at that a little more in a moment. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew. I didn't read our text yet. Let's read Romans 1, verses 8 to 10. The Bible says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. So, again here, we see Paul making requests unto God, but we say, look at verse 8 there. First, he says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. Do we have things to be thankful for? What has God given you this week that you can be thankful for? What has God done for you? Amen. He's given us a beautiful day. You know, if we had days like this every day, would we be thankful for the sunshine and the warmth? Yeah, we would be, but not as thankful. Amen. It's like we're rejoicing. Yesterday afternoon, when I knew the forecast said it was supposed to clear up yesterday afternoon, and they were right. And I was standing outside, and I look up, and there's this blue stuff in the sky. And I said to Diane, look, it followed us all the way from Cuba. It just took a little longer to get here. And there's a pattern of thanksgiving in the Bible that, you know what, all of us have things to be thankful for. What else can we be thankful to God for? What do we have to be thankful for? Yeah, just our daily benefits, for sure. What else? What else can we be thankful for? Freedom, amen. Praise God for families, amen. Praise God for families. Amen, the blessed hope of the coming of Jesus Christ, amen. What else? Did you eat this morning? Did you eat? Amen? Broccoli, cauliflower, what'd you eat? Did you eat? Amen. Be thankful for what you eat. Did you have a house to sleep in last night? Family salvation? Answered prayer? Amen. Maybe someone you know got saved. Maybe someone you know got right. Whatever it may be, we all have something to be thankful for. You're going, well, preacher, if you knew my circumstance, if you knew things that are going on at work, or what's going on in my life, and I it's just riddled with problems. You know what? Join the club. Amen. Everyone has problems. Did Paul have problems? Did he have a wonderful life of pleasure and ease, and everything just seemed to fall into place and go well for Paul? No, absolutely not. Paul had more problems than you and I could ever imagine. And yet Paul said, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful, he says, to the Roman believers here. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. I'm glad. We just praise God for other Christians. We can be thankful for that as well. Again, turn in your Bibles now to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. So again, this is again the model prayer. Jesus said, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Albert Barnes said this on hallowed be thy name. The word hallowed means to render or pronounce holy. God's name is essentially holy, and the meaning of this petition is, let thy name be celebrated and venerated and esteemed as holy everywhere, and receive of all men proper honors. It is thus the expression of a wish or desire on the part of the worshiper that the name of God, or again, God Himself, really, it's God Himself, should be held everywhere in proper veneration, respected, reverenced, feared. We should pray this. Jesus was an example of this in Matthew 11, verse 25. He said, I thank thee, O Father. Jesus was thankful to God, and he showed us that pattern. He's worthy. God is worthy. God has also done so many things for us. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4. We could all say, you know what, Pastor, there's been times I know God has answered my prayer. We could probably all say amen. God has done things. But do we also, this is an interesting thing when it comes to being thankful, are we thankful for what God is going to do for us? So we don't even know what He's going to do for us. Well, we do. We heard about that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We know He's going to do so many wonderful things for us in the future. But look at verse 6 here of Philippians chapter 4. Be careful for nothing. And that idea, again, of being careful there is not full of care, worried, all stressed out. Don't be all stressed about anything, he says. But in everything, not just some things, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Praying for future things is certainly part of prayer. But before we can pray for future things, that, God, I want you to do this. I'm asking you for this. I'm making this request that you would provide something, that you would do something tomorrow, today, whatever, later on. But it's going to be a future thing. Before we can go to God and we can ask Him to do something in the future, we've got to be thankful to Him for what He's doing in the here and now. Amen? Right now, what is God doing? in your life? What has God done for you that you can be thankful for? So we go to prayer. When we go to God in prayer, we should first of all be thankful for what He's done. And then we can be thankful that He's going to answer our prayers, that He's going to provide our needs. And we can pray and begin to ask for things to be done. What are some things that we could ask God for or God to do this week? What's something we could pray and ask God to do for us this week? Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, pray for... Amen. Yeah, pray for them. Pray for friends and loved ones to be saved. That's a future thing. What other things can we pray that God will do for us this week? Do you have a need this week? Amen, yeah. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to have two grandsons. And just pray for that. What else? What else can you pray for this week? Yeah, protection, absolutely. You're going to travel somewhere. Pray that God will give you safety when you're traveling. What else? Yeah, absolutely. If you got a business proposition or a business deal or something is going to happen at work, for instance, maybe you're got an opportunity to move into a different department or a different job at work this week, and pray for wisdom or pray that God would, if you're trying to get another job within where you're working, I know that used to happen at Ford all the time, you know, you could move up if jobs came open, you could put your name in for them, you could pray, hey God, you know, I'm just praying for that, pray for this, you can pray if you're going to be making a purchase this week, pray that God would give you wisdom, amen. Lots of things that we can pray for. And again, Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, first, I thank my God. So prayer is being thankful. Prayer is also, we've heard a lot already this morning about this, is interceding. And prayer certainly is interceding for others. We should always be praying for others. And we all have people that we can pray for. Amen? We do. And, you know, we have enemies that we can pray for. We have maybe people that are persecuting us that we can pray for. We have people that we're witnessing to that we could pray for. Friends, family, loved ones that we can pray for. Fellow Christians who have needs and ask us to pray. Verse 9 there in our text, it says, Paul writing says that he makes mention of you. He says, I make mention of you. You know, we say, hey, how you doing, brother? I know you've got I've been praying for you. In other words, I make mention of you. And so, again, we should always include intercessory prayer, praying for others. We find Paul praying for others in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 19. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Paul prayed consistently or constantly for Philemon in Philemon verse 4. And for Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. He prayed consistently for those individuals. And we have a prayer sheet. Wednesday night, we have a prayer sheet. And on that prayer sheet, it contains almost all, if you will, intercessory prayers. It's praying for others, praying for our missionaries, praying for people that have needs, pray for the health needs of certain people, praying for salvation of people that we're witnessing to. And these are all intercessory type prayers. Christ also prayed for other people. We find that in John chapter 17, which is really the Lord's Prayer. That's Christ's prayer, where he got on his knees I don't know if he did or not, but he prayed and sought God, and that was truly his prayer, where he was pouring his heart out, and that whole prayer was the prayer, it was a prayer for us, for the believers. And it's interesting, speaking of future things we're praying for in the future, Jesus even prayed for future converts. He said, I'm not just praying for these that thou hast given me, but I'm praying for others who will come to know Christ through them down the road and in the future. And so Christ prayed for others. Do we ask others to pray for us? Do we ask others to pray for us? Or we think, well, you know what? It's kind of none of their business. I don't want everybody knowing I have this need. I don't want to bother people, you know, to pray for me. Well, you know, we should be asking people for prayer. Would you pray for me? You know, I, as a pastor, I get a lot of people asking me, Pastor, would you pray for me for this? But, you know, my prayers don't have any more effect than your prayers. I don't have a special, pastors don't have special, you know, places in God's ear. And any one of us can pray. Any one of us can pray just as effectively as anyone else. And don't be afraid to let your requests be made known, not only to God, but even to other people. And Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 25, and 2 Thessalonians 3 verses 1 and 2, all talk about asking others to pray for us. Why do we fail? Why do we fail to ask others to pray for us? I kind of gave a few away, but why do we fail to do that? Yes. Okay, we don't want to bother them with time. Pride. A lot of it's pride. I mean, we just, you know, again, I hear about some of these old-fashioned revival meetings, you know, and even old-fashioned church services where people would just pop up, not in the middle of a church service, but if there were prayer requests or certain points, people would just stand up and say, you know, listen, pray for me. I got a problem. You know, I got a problem with pornography, or I got a problem with this. Would you pray for me? I got a problem with stealing. I got a problem with lying. I got a problem in my spiritual life. Would you pray for me? People were bold. They weren't afraid to let people know, you know what, I need you to pray for me for this certain particular thing. But we just seem so indifferent today. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to let others know what you need. We need to exhort other Christians to pray for each other as well. That's part of biblical prayer as well. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. There, Timothy was exhorted to pray for the king and all the rulers and people in power. He exhorted James chapter 5, verse 16. It talks about that as well. Sidlow Baxter said this, "Men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise our persons, but they are helpless against our prayers." Again, it's the most powerful weapon that we have as Christians. The Word of God, prayer, these things are what is going to be effectual when we do pray for other people. Also, prayer is having a conversation with God. I remember asking somebody one time in a service when I was preaching on this, what is prayer? And the lady said, well, it's just talking to God. Amen? And you know what? She's right. It's talking to God. Now, God, as we've seen, hallowed be thy name. I have read a few times Charles Spurgeon's lectures to my students, and certainly read in other places, again, some of these divines and men of God, and he was very, let me just say this, very, very strict on prayer, on using, you know, right words and articulating things properly and very, very, on his students, you know, his preacher boys, on learning how to pray properly. You know, I certainly think that we should learn to pray properly. You know, one of the things that I hear people do a lot during prayer is constantly and repeatedly using the name of the Lord. And I don't think that's right. I don't think we should, every other word, Lord this, Lord that, God's name becomes vain and we're just using it to fill in a blank when our mind doesn't know what to say next. Instead of saying, we say Lord during our prayers. And again, his name is supposed to be hallowed, not just thrown out there repeated every third word or whatever it may be. It's got to be reverent. We are talking to God, but there's got to be an amount of reverence. We've got to realize we're not talking to our, you know, I used to always laugh, my mom, I don't know how women can do it. They talk on the phone for hours, amen? Now, husbands, you can say amen. They won't hit you here. But my mom used to talk on the phone for hours, but the phone would ring, and this was back in the days. Now, some of the young people in here, you may not understand this, but this is the rotary phones, and the no-call display, nothing like this. You didn't know who was calling. My mom would answer the phone, and she would always answer. It's like very professional. It's like, hello? And then I always knew who it was, because if it was one of my aunts, it'd be, oh, Josie, how do you do? No, it's great here. It was the bank. It'd be, oh, yes, we'll be in tomorrow. You know, whatever it was. And you could tell. You could tell who she was talking to. You know, when we talk to God, and yes, prayer is conversation with God. It's talking to God. But I don't think we should talk to God like my mom talked to my Aunt Jo, Josephine. And I just say that because it's a long story. I grew up Catholic. My Aunt Jo was, I don't know, can't remember exactly. She was with me on my confirmation. And I told all the guys in my class, who's your, I can't remember what it was, there was a name for them, but oh yeah, mine's my Aunt Jo. And everybody looked at me, Aunt Jo? Today nobody would think twice about that, but so I always make sure I qualify my Aunt Josephine. So all that said, we've got to realize that when we talk to God, we're coming to a throne, we're not coming to a couch. And praying to God, understanding that although he is sovereign, powerful, and a great king, he is also our friends, and he wants to hear from us, and we should feel freedom to talk to him consistently and constantly. I found there's a lot of different places. I found in my life, one of the greatest places to pray was when I was driving. And I still pray when I'm driving. Now, I don't close my eyes. You'll get to heaven faster than you want. But also, when I'm hunting, if I'm out hunting by myself, if I can't talk to the animals, I'll talk to God. Amen? You're saying, preacher, that's why you miss so much, because you're praying and your eyes are closed and your head's down. And, you know, not all the time. The Bible says that we are to pray always, and it gives us some different verses about being in that consistent attitude of prayer. So we can pray when we're driving. We can pray when we're hunting. Where else can we pray? Yes. Washing the dishes. Where else? Walking. Absolutely, yeah. Amen. Yeah, amen. You pray, praying always. And, you know, when we think about our opportunities in every given day, sometimes, you know, praying, you know, the closet prayer, I mean, intense sweating, you know, prayer where we may go into our closet, we get on our knees, and we just intensely pray to God. You know, that is still important. But every day and all day long, we can be in an attitude of prayer. We can be in an attitude of prayer when the preaching's going on. We can be in an attitude of prayer when we're driving, when we're walking, when we're cutting the grass, when we're at work. Just make sure you watch what you do when you're working, though, and cutting the grass. You end up on your neighbor's lawn. You might not like that too much. Sorry, I was just lost in thought. So it doesn't, our prayers don't always have to be rigid and in a certain position. And I like this, someone has vividly expressed this in a humorous little poem. This was in our Daily Bread years ago. It says, "The proper way for man to pray, said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, the only proper attitude is down upon his knees. Nay, I should say the way to pray, said Reverend Dr. Wise, is standing straight with outstretched arms, with rapt and upturned eyes." "Oh, no, no, no," said Elder Snow. "Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with eyes fast closed and head contritely bowed. It seems to me his hands should be austerely clasped in front, with both thumbs pointing to the ground," said Reverend Dr. Blunt. "Well, last year I fell into Hodgkin's Well head first," said Cyril Brown, "with both of my heels a sticking up and my head a pointing down. And I'd done prayed right there and then the best prayer that I ever prayed, the prayingest prayer that I ever prayed, a standing on my head." I don't suggest you try it, but you know, we've probably all been in jams where we're praying, "God, you got to get me out of this one." And we can pray always. Prayer is, again, petitioning by supplication. Philippians, if you're in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, it's a good verse here. It says, again, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and what? Supplication. By prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." And again, the idea of being humble. The purpose and result of our prayers is always the glory of God. Amen? God answering any of your prayers should be for His glory. And we should pray according to God's will. Again, Romans 1 and 10 in our text there, it says, "Making requests, if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come on to you." And again, "You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, and you, that you may consume it upon your lust." God has a plan and a purpose for each of us. And unfortunately, we ask for things that aren't part of God's plan for us and part of God's purpose for us. And, you know, sometimes we don't know what God's will is. Well, you'll find out when you're praying for something. Pray for God's will to be done. And someone once said, "Well, if it's not God's will, pray that God will make it His will." And you know, there's one thing, again, I've just got to throw this in. I don't understand, I cannot reconcile, if you will, Calvinism and prayer. And I'd like someone to explain it to me somehow. I've tried to get Calvinists to explain it to me. How can we make our petitions and requests be made known unto God? God's already got them predetermined, and our prayer can't change things and bring about an answer to prayer and God's moving and answering to our prayer, which is completely opposite of what Calvinism teaches, that everything is already predetermined by God. But we can pray for God's will to be done. We can pray for God's will in any situation. God, you know, a need that you have, God, would this be possible for me to do? And talking about even ministry and whatever God has given you as far as ministry goes, and we're all ministers. God will always, if God is going to call a man to be a pastor, He's going to give that man gifts. If God is going to call you to a teaching position, or God is going to call you simply just to be maybe a worker, a general worker in the church, He's going to give you gifts, and He's going to give you aptitudes towards that particular vocation. And it's the same thing even in life, in the vocation of life. God is going to certainly give you an interest in what you want to do. You know, if I was the smartest guy in the world and I could have gone to university to be anything I want, I would not be a dentist. I don't care if they make $500,000 a year, amen? I would not be a dentist. I'm sorry, I don't want to be probing around in your mouth. Amen? Who's with me on that one? But some people obviously want to be a dentist. And God is going to give people a desire and an interest in the area of dentistry. And same thing with being a doctor, same thing with being a lawyer, whatever it may be in life. God is going to give you aptitudes and desires. And the one thing, again, I know this, the Mennonites, they draw a lot. They cast lots to determine who's going to be the elder. And I always say you just look at your birth certificate to find out who the elder is. But I remember one guy in an old order Amish colony, he was afraid for his life that his name would get drawn and then he would have to be an elder. But the Bible says that if a man desire the office of a bishop. See, God will gift the person, but the man has to have a desire. Just like any area of ministry, and I'm going to bring this right down again, prayer here. You know, when we pray for God's will, we know what our interests and what God has given us as far as our gifts go. But God, we can pray for God to give us gifts. Will God do that? Will God grant gifts and abilities? Absolutely. So praying for God's will to be done, ultimately, when we think about that, no matter what we pray for, maybe it's like, God, maybe God's calling me maybe to preach, but I just don't feel like I've got the gift of preaching. God's called me to teach. I just believe that this is what He's doing. You're praying, God, give me the gift, give me the ability, and God will do it. I know preachers who before they got called to the ministry, to ever get up in front of a group of people and to talk, I mean, they would rather go crawl in a hole somewhere. I mean, they couldn't do it. I know one pastor, he stutters badly, but he can preach. When he preaches, he doesn't stutter. Joel Michel had Tourette's before God took him home, and he talked to him. He preached, and he perfect, not one problem. And come over for night lunch afterwards when they were candidating, and all of a sudden he was stuttering a little bit, and I go, whoa. But he says, I don't stutter ever when I preach. You know, God will do things like that. God's will. But no matter what you're praying for, whether it's to preach or whatever, for a car, for a house, for whatever it is, when we think about God's will, we should always pray that through it, God's will would be done. And through whatever we're asking for and making petitions for, that it would be used to glorify God. Amen? That's God's will. And so we need to pray. So, again, the love of God, that's we got to remember when we pray, the love of God that wants the best for us, God wants the best for us, the wisdom of God that knows what is best for us, and the power of God that can accomplish it. And so, let's be disciplined, and let's pray. Pray without ceasing. Pray always. We'll pray and we'll be dismissed to the morning service. Father, we thank you for this time together. Would you bless each and every one of us? And would we be champions of prayer? Would we learn more of what it is to be prayer warriors, to get on our knees and just simply cry out to our God? So, Father, may this have been a blessing to us, and may the Holy Spirit of God just continue to work. Well, thank you in Jesus' name, and amen.